Welcome back to The Drop, the contest edition. My name's Stace Galbraith, and this week to help me break down the upcoming Margaret River Pro, I have Mr. Shane Dorrian in the hot seat. Super excited about this one. I get Shane's underdog picks, his favourite picks. We also chat to Shane about what he's been up to lately, what he's got coming up in the pipeline, and what he thinks of the current state of women's surfing. Shane's surfed with some of the best, he's coached some of the best, and he's got plenty of wisdom to share. So super grateful for Shane's time, and yeah, stoked to have him on the podcast. Let's drop in. Shane, I want to say welcome back to the podcast. However, you're the pioneer of the Stat Podcast, mate. You're Nudes.
And I don't know if anyone remembers that, but that was fun. It was a lot of fun to do the podcast. I think it's better to be on this side of the podcast.
Yeah, they're good fun. They are good fun. And yeah, we have a good time. We have a good time making them. But mate, what brings you to West Oz?
I'm here for a Billabong shoot, which is cool. It's been a minute since I was on a Billabong shoot. And yeah, I'm here with Jai Glinneman and Macy Callahan and Creed McTaggart. And yeah, just surfing around the comp. You know, the Billabong has their CT guys and girls here. And so we're doing a shoot around, like, you know, just getting content, doing stuff for like the wetsuits and the clothing and all that sort of thing. And it's been a lot of fun for sure. Just hanging out like in the West again is like epic. Last time I was here was 6 or 8 years ago, and I have tons of epic memories from this part of Australia, and I've always loved it.
I guess, yeah, lots of nostalgia for you. For me, we had the Trilogy Prem in town last night, and that brought up heaps of memories.
Yeah.
You know, what's it like seeing someone like Seth, who you grew up or watched grow up, now kind of in that space of what you guys were doing 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, seeing those guys up there, and it's so cool to see the premiere. It was epic. Like, so much has changed in surfing with like social media and like all this short form content and like, you know, sort of, I don't know how you'd say it, just like infinity amount of content that you see every single day scrolling on your phone. And a lot of it's like super high quality or like stuff that baffles you or that would baffle you had you not like consumed so much of it. But some things don't change, and that's like going to the theater in your hometown with Groms and seeing that Stoke. Like, to see that theater filled with like 300 kids, little toe-headed Aussie kids, and every last one of them was like frothing. Like, I was outside like before the show, and they were all just fired up. I'm like, where'd you surf today? How was it? Oh, sick as this film gonna be, and can't wait to see Ethan or Seth or Griff. Like, it's just cool. And then like when the boys rocked in, it was like they were like rock stars to those kids. Like, those kids like eat and breathe and sleep surfing. And so like they see like Ethan Ewing roll in and Griffin Colapinto roll in and Seth, and you could just see like stars in their eyes and like just the amount of like respect and awe. It was just, it's freaking awesome. I love that. I love that, that never changes, that like that stoke that kids get, like the, like being a Grom's, nothing better.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, outside of the Billabong stable, you've obviously been surfing with the tour around the last couple of days. Anyone been catching your eye?
Yeah, surfed with Katie Simmers today. I'm a big fan of Katie's, and just, we were just talking off before we started this, but yeah, she's just such a weapon. I love her ability to like just surf her own way, her line, her approach, like the way she looks at waves, looks at sections, even looks at lineups. It's like super unusual to me, and I love that. I just feel like she's super unique. It's almost like an anomaly that she's a good contest surfer, because you would think that, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I love it. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Katie's. I surfed with her today. I surfed with Kanoa Igarashi today. He was ripping. But yeah, I haven't really been around the comp too much, but seen a bunch of the surfers. So yeah, I'm actually pretty excited to go down to the comp and see some heats.
Yeah, for sure. What's it like for you coming to these, you know, whether it's a photo shoot or a contest these days with say your son or any trip you're going on, are you still like all over the forecast or are you kind of just a passenger?
I'm a passenger for sure. Especially on this particular trip. Cause it's like, I'm just here with a crew staying at the house. We had a couple cars and like, we kind of have an agenda, but a very loose, fun agenda, but it's still an agenda. We're all kind of like moving as a group. So, yeah, just looking for surf whenever it happens. And then, yeah, it's just like eating good food, having good times, and then getting a bunch of work done around that. And I mean, it's easy work. Let's be honest. So we're like wearing clothes and wetsuits and going surfing and having a good time together. So, yeah, I'm just psyched to be back in Australia. Honestly, I love WA. I love Margaret River, and it'll be fun to watch the comp. I'm really excited. That last comp at Bells was super exciting to watch and super, you're just interesting, all the drama around everything and stuff. So I think this event with the cut coming up and all that, it's going to be insane.
Is that the only thing that makes Bad Waves entertaining, is the drama that it creates? Because it kind of makes it a bit more of a level playing field for everyone.
Yeah, well, there's two types of shitty waves, right? There's like shitty waves that are like crappy to surf and crappy to watch.
Mm.
And then there's shitty waves that are like not good quality, but the surfer surfs so well that it's still fun to watch.
Mm.
And Bells, I felt like everybody was surfing really good there. So even when the waves are crappy, like if the forecast isn't that good, like here at Main Break in WA, like it could be like the worst forecast ever and still like have people just like absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
Cause the wave has punch, wave has power. It could be like air wind. It could be only head high, but it's like punchy with air wind, and you'll see the most insane surfing happen.
Mm, for sure. The forecast for this event doesn't look too flash at the minute, but you know, similar to Hawaii or these other spots around the world, like that can change so quick. And even at 3 foot, it's still going to be fun. It's 3 to 4 foot out there now. I'd say day one probably going to run, but it brings the whole playing field in. Like the left looks fun. There's a couple of ramps into the right. Sure. And I think that, like you said, it's still at 3 foot, head high, chest high, it's still a really entertaining wave, and you still need to be on your best. You can tell who's not sharp.
For sure. And I feel like in the last like few years, it's always like a tiny bit too big for good airs.
Mm.
And then, but when Margaret's is like that step down size, when it's like head high, the wind goes perfectly into the right, and there's a crazy ramp on almost every wave. So I think it'll change the game. I think it'll change the criteria and people's approach. I think we're going to see if they do run a few days when the waves are little. I think we're going to see some insane aerial surfing go down. It'd be insane to see some airs from the girls as well, which would be sick.
No, for sure. You seem pretty active on social media. A thought that comes to my mind leading into an event like this is how good John is at this wave. Recently, he's posted free surf sessions of him and Italo warming up.
Yeah.
I'd love to know your thoughts around that and how he then is perceived in the contest and whether you think it's beneficial or a hindrance to him.
I mean, I think for some of the surfers on tour, putting out a banger edit from the surf break from that venue just a couple days before can like kind of get in the judges' heads. I think we're all humans.
Mm.
So like if I'm a judge and I see a clip of Italo like at Main Break where he's just doing huge helicopter airs and he's like smashing it, he looks super strong and his boards look amazing. I mean, it's going to be like, you're like anticipating him shredding. So when it happens, like a lot of times we see what we want to see.
Yeah.
So if we're looking forward to seeing someone surf as a judge, like automatically you're going to have like a positive spin. And I think some people that really, it's a huge advantage to somebody like to put out a banger edit right before the event, because it does get into judges' heads. But for John, I feel like he's a little bit of an exception to that rule where like, everybody knows at Main Break, John's a weapon.
Mm.
You know, I haven't seen John surf out there this year, but I talked to a couple of people today. I talked to Mike Rowe Hall, who's a coach, and asked him who was surfing really good at Main Break. And he said, he like named a few people. And then he was like, well, John, and John's in his own realm.
Mm.
So even though the waves haven't been super epic out there the last couple of days, I guess John has been throwing massive airs and doing his crazy rail game like he always does. So I think everyone is anticipating John being the guy to beat.
Mm. And rightfully so. He's made his mark on this wave. And he's not the only Hawaiian to look really strong in this part of the world, though. Like Sebastian Zietz comes to mind, not only here, but at North Point and every wave around here, the box. It just has such a good fit to the surface from that part of the world where you're from. And then also vice versa would say Jack Robinson and how strong he is in your part of the world.
Sure.
Yeah, there's obvious things that you know why that is the case, but is there anything that you know we might not know about the two waves that you would say is what is keeping those guys and girls at the top of the ratings?
As far as like the how they're similar, West Oz and
similar,
Hawaii?
And you know everything, just like how strong the wind is when you're paddling in, and just those minor details that you don't really pick up unless you've been in it.
I just think it's like the unpredictability. Mm. And like, I feel like Hawaii, like the waves on the North Shore and the waves here out here in the West, they expose you in a way that's like very unique to these two locations. They're really exposing. Like if you surf really good at main break, it's pretty obvious. If you don't, it's really obvious, painfully obvious. Mm. And so the people who surf good at sunset, people who surf good at Haleiwa, they're going to surf good at main break. Like that, you know, the, all those, the, you know, like the names come right to the top super easily when you think about the people who surf really good in both places. But I think it's the power, the unpredictability, and just, you know, sometimes the size of the surfer, you know, it's really difficult, I think, for like really small surfers to really shine when main break is big or super windy and stormy and stuff. Yep. Like the bigger guys will, and the bigger girls will have an advantage. But yeah, it's always fun because like main break, you just never know what it's going to throw at you with the forecast and the wind. And there's so many elements. And I think that makes it a little bit more interesting.
Mm, for sure. Philippe Toledo is an interesting person to throw in that mix. And like, he's so strong at Haleiwa, main break, Margaret River on right, Sunset Beach. You know, what would you say is like the main difference between waves that are tall and still like life threatening? Margaret River when it's 15 feet is like a heavy outside barreling wave. How would you ever see Philippe in his career bridging the gap between that and say Tahiti and Pipeline? Or do you just think that it's too far gone?
I think it's too far gone, honestly. I mean, I hate to say that because I'm
the
biggest fan of Philippe. I just think he has waited way too long to put in the time to fill in those holes in his surfing. And those holes are like pretty easy to fill in, honestly. Like I feel like everybody knows that Felipe's biggest strength is definitely not Chopo and definitely not Pipeline, but he's actually pretty good at both of those places when it's not that big.
Mm.
His technical ability in the barrel, I've seen him at Chopo with my own eyes, like technically really good.
Mm.
His speed management, his ability to like knife in really well, like his positioning with his feet, his positioning with like knowing where the wave is going to break, how like how deep to be, how deep to put himself. He's actually really good. It's just, he has a block. He has a straight up block when it comes to like really, really heavy, terrifying barrels, which is justifiable and understandable. Yeah. A lot of people do.
Mm.
Just unfortunately, he's one of the world's best surfers.
Mm.
And I use him as an example all the time though, because as much as those are kind of holes in his game, what's amazing is how incredibly strong he's become in like bigger, heavier waves. Maybe not scary waves, but like really big bells. He's like one of the best. Big J Bay, he's one of the best. Yep. Haleiwa, he's insane. Sunset, which is like a super hard big wave. He's so good. Like, and I always use him as an example because I always hear like, I'm really good friends with a bunch of surfers who are like 20 years old.
Yep.
Who are like on the cusp of making, you know, the tour, or they're on the Challenger Series, and they're always talking about how you can't compete unless you're big. So they're all trying to put on weight. They're all like, they feel too skinny. They need to get big like Cole Hauschman, or they always like use Cole Hauschman or like a, you know, just like a bigger person. Like a
John and Gabriel are big bodies.
They just look big. Their surfing looks big. Their spray is big. They look powerful. They look so dominant, and it exposes a smaller, weaker surfer. But like Felipe and even Italo, like they're smaller in stature. They're pretty small dudes.
Mm.
In comparison, but they surf so big.
Pound for pound, Felipe is the most powerful surfer we've ever seen.
Yeah, and his surfing's big. He's not only powerful, he's big. Like his line, you put him out there at Bells with like Jordy Smith, who's like 6'3".
Yeah.
Or Cole Hauschman, and Felipe doesn't not look small compared to those guys. He looks just as big.
Mm.
His surfing looks huge. So I feel like that's such a cool thing and interesting. And so many smaller, really good surfers just don't have that ability to look big.
Mm.
But I feel like it's pretty cool how far Felipe has come because he's such a weapon.
Mm, for sure.
But yeah, I would love to see him put the time in,
yeah.
Go to Chopo in the off season, go to Pipeline after the season ends,
yeah.
And just put in time.
Yeah,
I'd really love to see that because it's actually really not that hard to like, I feel like filling in his holes filling in the holes in his surfing would actually not be that hard and not be that time consuming.
Yeah.
It's just if he waits too long, it becomes like a psychological trip, you know?
How are you enjoying the coaching when crew are coming into Hawaii and it's either the last or first event of the year, which are both as equal important. I mean, obviously going for a title at Italo is different to, say, starting the year. However, they're both, you know, I mean, if Pipeline was in the middle of the year, it wouldn't matter. It's an important event, and that Hawaii leg always is. You look like you're really enjoying it.
I do. Yeah, it's cool. It's been a lot of fun. It's funny. The coaching thing is interesting because I've never pursued coaching.
Mm.
Never. And I'm still not. Like, it's not like something I'm like, I really need to keep doing this coaching thing.
Mm.
And I'm not trying to do more coaching or travel for coaching or anything like that. But it's been pretty cool because my first real coaching experience was with Italo when he was going for the world title against Gabe. And he ended up winning the world title, winning the pipe event. And that was such a cool, positive experience and such a... So sort of like these kind of mental and psychological hurdles that we kind of had to get over with that. And my relationship with Italo and that experience was so positive and so much fun and so rewarding to see him like live his dream and like to be a part of that. It was like super cool. And so like when Ethan reached out and some of the other surfers like Lakey Peterson and some of the other girls I coached this year. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's weird. Like, it is fun to be a coach, and it's I don't know how to explain it. It's like I don't want to do more of it, but I know I know that I'm good at it, which I don't say that about many things in my life. But when you have 40 years of experience and expertise in a narrow focused subject, it's cool to be able to bring that knowledge and bring that experience and help somebody kind of fulfill their dream or kind of like level up.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. Ethan sticks out like. He's a lot of fun to work with. He's as an athlete, he's not very needy.
Yep.
He needs like certain things, like these little things, and they're very important, but he's not like texting me. It's hard to get a hold of him.
Yeah.
It's funny. It'd be like a night before the event. I'm like texting like, hey, call me back. What time do you want me there? What do you need me to bring down? Where do you want me to meet you? And it's just like, he's like ghosting me. I'm like, bro, I'm your coach. You need to respond. And then I have like, and then I'm like coaching some of the girls and they're texting me like 20 times a day. Mm-hmm. How big is it going to be?
Yeah.
When's low tide? When's high tide? You know, let's meet at 3 a.m. Like, it's really funny. So it's fun. It's fun to work with different athletes and to see the different personality types and to kind of learn as I go and sort of get out of my comfort zone as far as like working with them and be able to like learn how to communicate with different people.
Mm.
And my theory with coaching is like, I really try not to coach every, I try not to have everybody fit into my coaching system.
Yeah.
Like, oh, am I going to coach all these people exactly the same?
Yeah.
I really try to identify the different strengths and weaknesses and the different personality types and try to figure out ways to help them level up in their own way. Mm. So that's fun.
For sure. Yeah. It's a great feeling. Like, and seeing it unfold, you can see it through the screen, you know, how much it means to them. And you can see, yeah, how much you're enjoying it. There was a good photo that went up on Instagram yesterday, sort of coach's corner on the stairs. And like, you know, I don't know that you're in that photo, but it's pretty special to see that like lineage in surfing, you know, most of those guys on tour back, you know, in their time. And then they're coming into this scene and helping the junior surfers. And like, it's, you know, just passing the baton. It looks great. And you can see how much everyone's invested. You know, someone like Tom Whitaker with Griffin or Jake Patterson with Ethan, or, you know, the list goes on. It's, it's a cool thing. But taking the coach's hat off and maybe the fantasy surfer betting hat on, you got an underdog for this event in the men's?
In the men's, Crosby Colapinto.
I like it.
Yeah.
Talk about a big body.
He's a big kid. And he's kind of ticks a lot of the boxes. His rail game is like incredible. His air game is super legit. And he surfs good in big windy rights. I remember in that DNA movie with him and Griff, he was surfing that yo-yo's wave in Indo and doing these massive full rows of big old cars through a big chop and stuff. And yeah, I love Crosby, and I think his confidence is starting to build. And I would love to see him do good. I think he'd be a huge underdog here, and I think he could go deep into the draw.
Mm, for sure. And on that, you know, it's a pretty happening thing for you right now with Jackson. But watching Crosby come on, it seemed like it took his while to find his straps. But then when he found them, he looks like, obviously, he's right up there for Rookie of the Year. You know.
Yeah.
What would be your kind of advice to anyone that is like, you know, that 16, 17? And in that moment where they're showing some indicators that they could be a world-class surfer, but just those building blocks to get there. Like, is there anything that's standing out to you at the moment?
I think just not focusing only on your strengths, like how we talked about Felipe earlier, like the real time, the easy time to work on your weaknesses is when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, because mm-hmm. you have a lot of time and you're young. It's like you have a lot of time you can like really dedicate. And most people know what their weaknesses are by the time they're 15, mm-hmm. whether it's their backhand or their rail game or their errors or whatever it was. Like Jack Rabo is a really good example. Like mm-hmm. when he was 16, 17, he was actually like as a performance surfer, not that great. Mm-hmm. He was his edits were insane. His strengths were crazy strong. But if you just threw him in heats against all the best like kids that are good in heats, he just gets smoked every time. Mm. And just because he had like these little holes in his surfing, like anyway, long story short, it's been insane to see Jack put in the time, mm. just grind it out and like and not be afraid to like work on weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing is like just really like taking a hard look at your surfing all the time and just like working on bettering your surfing and working on surfing like this kind of surfer you want to surf like.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I would almost say that like watching Ethan Ewing and Robbo come up through the ranks are almost similar in their strengths and weaknesses. Right. And they've both done the hard work to develop themselves to be threatening in any time, anywhere.
100%.
Any board, any condition.
Yeah.
And it is hard, I think, sometimes for those younger kids. You know, you're right in saying you're 15, 16, you've got plenty of time, but that social pressure when you're 16 to fail and fall is like so big. But I think if it's great advice that you give, you know, you do have time, but you have to use it wisely. And having a go really matters.
It's crazy too. I feel it's hard for me as someone who's been in this game for a long time, like seeing like the kids coming up and like seeing like some of the crazy surf parents, the crazy surf dads and crazy surf moms, jeez. The kids put so much pressure on themselves. The last thing on earth they need is like a bunch of pressure from their parents. Mm. So like, it's really hard for me to like see these kids because they do have a lot of pressure on themselves. It's a trip. So it's hard because they got to grind. They have to put a lot of time in. They have to really focus and pour all their energy into this surfing dream. But at the same time, it's really stressful. It's a really stressful thing. And I saw a thing where I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head, but one of the surfers who was a QS grinder for a long time, has Cooper Chapman.
Yep.
He's like talking to WSL about like mental health care and like trying to make sure that people are talking about that, because it is like you invest so much time and effort and pour your heart into this dream. And when it doesn't happen, a lot of people don't have any plan B whatsoever, because you're not allowed to have a plan B trying to be a pro athlete, because it takes 100% no plan B mentality.
You're not losing.
Yes.
It's a guarantee in your mind.
Yeah. And so anyway, I guess it's just, that was kind of like a little rant, but yeah, it's a lot of pressure on these kids. And I wish them all the best, because it's stressful.
I think too.
And I'm a parent of one of them, you know, he's got the same dream as all these other kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, oh, geez, he's putting so much pressure on himself. He doesn't need it from me. And isn't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I see where it leads to. And it's like either glory and trophies and world titles and, you know, financial freedom.
Yeah.
Or just gnarliest grind forever, or just stress. And I don't know, it's a crazy choice.
And then you're just sort of, the world can feel like it owes you something if it doesn't go your way.
Yes.
And that's not true, you know, and you do see that unfortunately a lot. It's like, oh, this was meant to happen for me. And well, no, there is no guarantees.
Yeah.
It's about so many more things, but unfortunately, and we're all guilty of it, getting sucked into that narrow mindset. And I don't think it's ever been worse as far as that pressure around kids, you know, like
really
social media and the, you know, what the brands require. And then talking about financial freedom, we know where salaries are at in surfing. It's definitely not a high point right now.
No, it's so hard.
So it's like, I don't think it's ever been harder for a kid at the minute, you know, like it is tricky.
I talk to these kids too, because I'm good friends with a lot of them. And I just say, hey, for sure, pour all your energy and your heart into this thing that you love to do and your dream, but also like enjoy it along the way, because, you know, you don't want to tell them that, but like, it's like, all you have is today. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're going on a surf trip, if you're like doing these, enjoy it. Even though it's a grind, mm-hmm. even though it's stressful, like, and even if it doesn't lead to being on the tour, even mm-hmm. if it doesn't lead to like having the big contract, like even if it ends when you're 18, even if it ends when you're 20, at least you had that chapter. Like you can yeah. learn so many lessons. You can like develop yourself into like a really good human being yeah. through all these really cool experiences that we get through yeah. surfing. So even if it's just like a little bit of travel, even if it's like those memories of going to the comps with your family and all your good friends, mm. like don't think of it as a big failure if it doesn't work out. Like that's so important to have those moments. I tell that to my son Jackson all the time. I'm like, dude, even if this doesn't go anywhere in 5 years, like think of all these fun trips we've done together. Yeah. Think about these experiences we've had together.
People
think
you've met and places you've yeah. seen and yeah.
And like it's already been a huge success, even if it doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? So life is short, man. You got to really appreciate what we have. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll leave the financial freedom chat for how surfers get paid, because I believe you've got a pretty awesome chat coming up in that. But do you have a short blurb for these young surfers that maybe they should be thinking about their financial freedom at this young stage in their career, given how active you are with other pursuits?
Yeah, I guess so. I think don't be afraid to try to learn. Mm. Like if you have, like if you're a kid who's a surfer who's starting to make some money, or if you're a kid who's not a surfer who's starting to make some money, don't try to do it all on your own. Don't try to figure out everything yourself. Look to people who are mentors. Look to people who are older than you and really successful, who have done the work, and then you're like, well, this guy's really got his life sorted out mm. or her life sorted out, and go to them and ask questions. There's no dumb questions. It takes people a long time. Start reading and educating yourself. And it's like, you know, financial stuff can be super confusing and complex and not that fun to learn about sometimes, mm. but you'll be happy you did in 20 years, you know. But the power of compounding and having time on your side and a long enough time horizon, you don't need a whole lot of money invested to make a huge impact in your life. So I would definitely say get into investing, and the time is on your side, especially the younger you are.
Yeah, I like that. There's no dumb questions, whether it's anything really.
Yeah, anything you're trying to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's such a good attitude to have. Underdogs for the women, Shayna. Who you liking?
Well, she's not a huge underdog, but I think...
That's our biggest problem with this show, because the rankings get so flipped. Someone yeah. that was once an underdog is now number one in the world.
Yeah, which is so cool.
Is that person still an underdog?
I swear, that's the best part about surfing.
We change our minds all the time. So whatever your underdog is, I'm going to let it slip.
I have a couple underdogs.
Okay.
Sawyer Lindblad, yep. who's an actual underdog.
For sure.
She could go deep. I love her surfing. Is super powerful and really aggressive. And she's just a hammer. And I love her to death. I think she could be a weapon in this event, but on your backhand, I think that's a disadvantage out at main break for the mm. most part. And then Gabrielle O'Brien, mm. if she has decent wave selection, I think she could win this contest. Like actual, like be on the podium, like yep. no sweat.
Yeah.
I feel like yep. she's like John for the girls.
Yeah.
Her power is like straight up unmatched. Mm. She's just her raw power and her torque and her ability to just like cut through chop.
Yeah.
Is insane. She just needs to like not make any like silly mistakes and like have some pretty good wave selection. But yeah, I'm a huge fan. Betty Lou.
Yep.
I think is going to be really hard to beat out there. The main break's really similar to Holly Uva, which is her, you know, home break, and she surfs incredible out there at all sizes.
Just on Betty Lou, you can see at the minute she's, you know, trying some different boards, which I think yeah. looks great. Like, I think that someone of her age and skill set should be trying different boards.
For sure.
But it's not as common as what it used to be 10, 20 years ago. Like, these big brands, they're going to want to lock her in.
For sure.
Which I kind of feel for her in that sense. Like, you yeah. know, your Pizels are going to go amazing out here, no doubt, at Sunset and all the rest. But obviously, you know, at lower trestles, it might be a different conversation. What was your experience like? You didn't always just strictly ride JCs, or were you pretty loyal to him?
Well, I tried to be. I tried my hardest, you know. You try to be really loyal to your shaper and your board manufacturer and stuff, because they're supporting you and doing mm-hmm. a lot of work to support you. But at the end of the day, you're trying to win this contest.
Yeah.
Every contest you go to, and it's like you know, life and death when you win a yeah. contest. And a couple extra heats is like making the cut.
Yeah.
And so for all these surfers, it's like you have to ride the best board you have in your quiver.
Yeah.
And so when you go to a place like Margaret River, you're super smart to get a couple of Paizels, get some like non-epoxies, get boards from, you know, whoever it is, Simon Anderson or some Australian shapers. And then, you know, when you go to Snapper or something, you want to be like on JS's or you want to be on DHD's or Sharp Eyes or something like that. And then when you're in Hawaii, it's going to get Arakawa's or, you know, Wade Takoro's. Like, yep. So, yeah, I think a lot of these surfers will basically have the same quiver from their board manufacturer. But every now and then it's kind of good to like mix it up and try different things, because some shapers in certain regions will have boards that are just like extra reliable.
Yeah, for sure. I can remember this classic photo of Andy at J-Bay where I think Greg Weber and Mayhem had some sort of agreement, but there was the Weber logo in between his feet, the Lost logo above his foot, but he'd stick it a HIC above the Lost logo.
Totally.
And I was just thinking, there's so much going on there. Like, it's just, you know, but I think I like that, particularly for younger surfers, to have that kind of freedom if they can. But it's, you know, you will see that at some point Betty Lou will make a decision, whether it's stays with Later Designs or Paizels or runs some Channel Islands. And, you know, I wish her all the best, because I think her surfing has gone to the next level just by even learning and trying those different things. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a really good look. Yeah, Ethan was the same, couple of Arakawas, and then he got, you know, leveled up, and now it's strictly DHs. Mick was the same, Takoros, and then strictly DHs. But
I will say there's nothing better than having 100% confidence in one board manufacturer, one shaper.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was coaching Ethan last year, and it was before the Hawaii event started, and he had a bunch of DHDs. And then he had a Hawaii shaper who I won't name.
Yeah.
That had made him a quiver. And I asked him about it, and he was like, yeah, you know, they feel pretty good and this and that. And you know, they're you know, obviously the theory's right, you know, it's like, oh, it's a Hawaii shaper, a lot of, you know, lots of experience with the North Shore. And you know, the boards are gonna work pretty reliable here. And like DHD, his shaper is like from Australia. He's like, you know, doesn't have like this intimate relationship with Hawaii
and the preseason training, the local surfers,
and I'm like working with Ethan, and I'm like watching him surf with my own eyes, and I'm like, fuck, dude, put those things in some locker and lock it and throw away the key.
Yeah,
your DHDs are perfect.
Yeah,
every last one of them at every single wave we're surfing. Don't even think about it again.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not gonna be like super. I'm not gonna be like super opinionated with a lot of stuff and not your equipment, but this particular thing, trust me, get rid of everything except your DHDs. They look absolutely flawless. And that like not thinking about two different things, just focusing on one, just like having like erasing distractions from your brain is such a strength and such an advantage. And I feel like for someone like Ethan, whose boards look really, really good at all different waves around the tour, which I really feel like DHDs, especially for Ethan, look epic in like weak waves, soft waves, lefts, rights, big waves, deep water waves, reef breaks, point breaks.
And he's put in the time. Like, Ethan's done a lot of time in Hawaii for a young kid. Like, he's still only so young, you know.
Yeah.
He's gone early. He stayed late. He's, you know, talks with Darren a lot, you know, and it's what's required. But, well, how do you think Andy was able to kind of balance so many different shapers? He finished up on JS, but like, you know, through the heyday, like he was fucking at the Chili's and
JS's
and HICs and everything, you know.
It's hard, you know, because Hawaiian shapers, their boards on, like, I'm gonna be honest, like all of the Hawaii shapers, their boards work insane in Hawaii.
Mm.
But then you go to Trestles, you go to Snapper, and they just don't work the same.
Yeah,
they just don't have that same. They're not as lively. They're not as sparky. They're not as like, they don't feel crisp.
Yeah.
The same crispness as like a JS or like a Sharp Eye.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for like a whole lot of Hawaii surfers, they have to be flexible. And Andy was smart enough to know that made all the difference. That was going to, and it ended up winning him world titles when he rode the very best board in his quiver.
Mm.
And so before he would go somewhere 2 months early, he would call JS, he would call like Mayhem and make sure he had like little quivers everywhere to make sure he had like the best board. And then he put a bunch of stickers on it.
Yeah. I actually think I put you in that club too. There's a local taco shop.
Yeah, at home. I definitely did that.
It's got one of, it's got a DHD in there, I think it's for you, Shano. And then, it's got the John Carpenter sticker up the front, which I think is like, I don't know, we'll get off this topic, but I think it's the perfect trade-off. You're showing the respect and the loyalty to your guy, but then you're also kind of going, well, look, I am where I am and I'm at Snapper and I fucking really want to win this comp and, you know, Darren or Jay or so, whoever are doing some good boards, but it's a funny one. For the record, I won't go into detail, but underdog for me and the men, Rio Wider. I think he'll be fired up after Bells.
Yeah.
I don't think he won the heat against Griffin, but I think that maybe there was some scoring there where Rio will come into this event with a lot of confidence. You know, just a couple of sixes and sevens, nothing like excellent in his scoreline, but he was surfing good. He was ripping. Griffin didn't blow him out of the water by any stretch. And I thought I thought that Rio should take a lot of confidence out of that. So
Rio surfed, especially in that one wave, that like, I forget the exact, like, exactly what he needed or whatever, but that one wave he opened up, and like when he, like, Rio was pissed. He knew he had to surf out of his skin to have the chance, and he knew that Griffin was like on a heater, like amazing wave selection, and just couldn't fall, and Rio just like leveled up and hit when Rio surfs with no fear and it connects, it's he's like the best. He's like one of the very best guys.
Talk getting back to that smaller but power. Like, he's not a big guy to stand next to, but when he's on the wave,
crazy rail game. Crazy rail game. And he goes into turns 100% speed. Like, he'll try to go as fast as he possibly can into a turn. There's not too many people who do that.
No, not at all. Yeah, you can tell people are like wiping it off before they get up there.
And yeah, Rio doesn't do that at all.
He doesn't do that at all. And then for the women's tricky. Like, I want to say that Lakey needs a big result here, and I think she'll get it.
She serves great at main break.
But I wouldn't say she's an underdog, but for the sake of it, she's an underdog for me here. Just, she hasn't had the best couple of seasons, and I think that her experience here will pay off. Like, yeah, similar to Hawaii, when it's small, you need to wait. And I think that she'll have that in her and be able to capitalize. She put a clip on her Instagram that, you know, I thought she was looking pretty good. So, yeah, that'll get the vote for me. But favorites, which is kind of hard, because at a spot like this, we would sometimes just rule out Carissa and John just because they're kind of so obvious. But I'll let you have a look at the whole field, Shana. Who you got as a favorite in the men?
I'd have to say, if I was a betting man, I'd bet Gabe's gonna win this contest.
Defending champ, back to back.
I think for two reasons. For, and this is probably controversial, and it's like a weird rabbit hole to go into, and it's like really dramatic with all the shit that's been happening, but Gabe, I feel like he's surfing as good as he's ever surfed right now. He looks like crazy fit, and he's surfing like he's surfing a ton, which is sometimes not like Gabe. Like, some the last couple of seasons, you see sometimes he just doesn't look as crisp, and you just tell he's just not surfing that much. But right now, he looks like vintage Gabe, and like really light and lean, and super focused, and he's pissed about the judging and all this stuff, and yeah, and I think that the judges, this is going to be controversial. I think the judges are humans.
Yeah.
And I think they are not immune to all the hatred online. Mm. And I think that stuff gets in their heads, just like every other human being. And I think the pendulum will swing. Mm. And I think it'll swing now.
Yeah.
And I mean, deservingly so.
It's one of those things. It is deservingly so, because even if you lose a heat, it is close. And whether it's right or wrong, that's just surfing. Like, I wouldn't think that, you know, we're going to see more close heats this year and the year after there. They're always going to be there. But
having said that, though, I got to say, Ethan's going to be really hard to beat up there. Ethan's going to be gnarly.
Yeah.
And John, if it's pumping, John will be like almost untouchable. But like, if it's medium size or small, I think Ethan's going to be so gnarly out there.
It's exceptional how good Ethan is in medium to small waves.
Yeah, and big waves.
And big waves, but he's so big.
Medium-sized main break?
Yeah.
He's just so strong.
Yeah.
And he's so sharp and so confident now. He knows he's the criteria.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous.
Yeah. But, you know, like, you do have to know when you've got the proverbial red jersey. You know, you always joke about it, like, oh, you got the red jersey, you know. And Ethan has that now. He's nearly in the yellow jersey. And Griffin, I think, is feeling that a bit too at the minute, where, like, man, these guys are ripping, but they are on the flavor.
Yeah.
And I think you have to enjoy that when it's happening.
Yes.
You spend more time.
That's a real thing.
It is a real thing. Oh, you see it on the QS, you see it on the CT.
Yeah.
You're going, like, this guy's not making this heat.
Yeah.
But they're going through and they've just got the rhythm and the flow. And, but it's pendulums. Like you said, you know, and you don't always have it.
It does swing away.
Take it when it's there.
Yeah. It swings away from people too.
Definitely.
Yeah. And yeah. Gabe was that person for a long time.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. He made plenty of heats that he probably shouldn't have made.
For sure.
Yeah. And like nobody noticed it.
Finals that maybe he shouldn't have.
Totally. You know, and nobody noticed it then.
No, that's right.
There was no hatred online.
No, but, not
you know,
at all.
When the pendulum swings to someone else.
Yeah.
And it'll swing away from Ethan and Griff at some point to somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's natural and normal. And we've seen it all. We've seen it for decades that happening.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a real thing.
Mm.
But yeah,
I'm going to have to put you on the spot there. You got to pick one. Ethan, Gabe, John. I think the forecast, it's going to be medium. And it might finish with a bang, but it's probably too far out for me to say for sure that it's going to be pumping when it finishes. I think we're going to have beautiful days with like waves that you would love to surf as a weekend warrior. But it's going to be pretty, but it's not going to be big.
Yeah. Ah, geez. It's really hard to not pick John. He just is so bulletproof.
Yeah,
and he ticks all the boxes. His air game is insane.
He has put in the work in the smaller conditions.
And he surfs really good when it's windy out there. Really good. It's just air game will come alive. So I guess I got to go John.
Yeah, okay, I like it.
It's a safe money.
Yep. I'll take you up on Gabe. I agree. I'll take Gabe. Yeah,
I love his surfing, man.
Me too. So and like he just, I love everything about him. I love his outspoken nature. I love his ability to win in the dying seconds, combo someone in 3 minutes. Like, he's just such a complete package. He's an absolute savage. And I just, like, I think that right now the tour needs him dearly.
You know?
We need people like him. He's a superstar.
Yeah,
absolute superstar. And I like seeing him on the podium. I think it pushes Griff. It pushes Ethan.
100%.
It pushes John, obviously. So, yeah, seeing Gabe at full strength is... Yeah, I think it's good for the sport. So I hope that I hope he gets a win here because it'll send him into that back half of the year, which is obviously going to suit him down to the ground.
Yeah,
Tahiti,
Fiji. Oh yeah, he'll be so deadly.
Seeing him there, you know, with you know that extra pep in his step, I think it'd be pretty good. What about the ladies? Who you got as a favorite?
Gabriella Bryan.
Sick.
Yeah, honestly, I think this is like this could be her this could be her win.
Yeah. I think that there's a few events on the tour that she could make a legacy out of. Sunset being one of them, here being the other.
Yeah.
Like, I think if she hits her stride and finds herself, I can't see anyone really getting close to her.
I've been around the men when she takes off on a wave and we're watching and they do the rah! Like, they all like audible noise when she's doing her turn.
Yeah.
Like, rah! Rawr, rawr. They do like that because she's such a beast that you can't help it. Like, I'm such a fan.
Same.
And she goes into turns 100% and gouges the shit out of him. Yeah, I would just love to see her just like, she's such a weapon.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I think she surfs really good. I'm going to go Betty Lou. That's my favorite.
Sick.
Yeah. I just love the way she surfs. I think that watching her at the start of the year, she kind of had the benchmark wave for me. It was the left at Pipeline. It was like, okay, that's the new benchmark, you know. And it hasn't left me that wave. I'm like, I was fucking so far and beyond anything else I'd ever seen out there from the women. I mean, not so much just getting tubed in general, but the fact that she went, you know, backside.
So technical
and so... just naturally gifted. You could tell that was the first time for her kind of being in that position. You know, the crowd out there is psycho. If a wave like that's coming to you in a free surf, you're probably getting it on the head because you're sitting on the inside. Like, she just got to sit where she wanted to sit, take off on a wave and do a thing. So, I think that confidence has to still just be within her from that event into Sunset and out here.
She's a great choice here.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that pipe event really quick about the girls?
Yes. You were coaching Alyssa Spencer, I think, and...
Yeah, Lakey, Alyssa Spencer, Sawyer Lindblad, and Ethan.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an event.
What an event. But that, I just wanted to, like, touch on it really quick. I'm on a text thread with, like, all my old buddies, like Rob Machado, Kalani Rob, Akila Aipa, Ross Williams, Kelly, Pat O'Connell, like, our whole, like, Conan Hayes... Like, all of our whole crew, all the Malloys, we're all in this texture. There's like 35 of us. And that day, all anybody talked about were the girls surfing. They all were watching the webcast and baffled how much of a level up the girls were.
Yeah.
It was like, you could see these glass ceilings being broken throughout the day in every single heat. And it was just insane. Like, and I just saw Katie today, like, she's just ripping the shit out of these little rights, and her performance surfing is so insane, and like nobody even saw it coming. She just like at pipe that day, she was just like whipping it under like 6 to 8 foot double ups, and just like
standing in them, like, totally like getting the photo.
Yeah, yeah. She would like arm bar down the face, get in the barrel, and then like looking in like a camera angle, looking in the back door. She like start relaxing like 10 feet deep in the barrel, like a dude, like Baron or something.
Yeah.
And I talked to her about that, and I was like, I told her that I was like, look, like all my old school like pro surf friends. We're all just tripping on you girls. Like, it was so cool. I just got to let you know that. Like, we're all such fans.
Yeah.
Like, you and Betty Lou, like, it's insane. Yeah. And, like, the stuff they did out of pipe was just freaking epic. And I just thought that was so cool. Like, it was just, like, this massive leap.
It was, like, two different events we got on.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild. Insane. It was wild.
And I talked to her, and she was telling me, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but she was like, yeah, there's, like, those are literally the only waves I caught a pipe this year. And she basically has caught like a couple free surf waves out there ever in her life that were decent. And I was like, imagine how good you'd be out at pipe if you got as many waves as like any other good surfer out there. Like, she'd be so even like way better than she already is.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And Betty Lou, like, it's just sick. I just love it. Like, it's a new chapter.
Mm.
It really truly is a new chapter for the girls. And I think it's super exciting.
Yeah. And it's like right place, right time.
Yeah.
She's, you know.
And I love it. Like
taking that opportunity to the max.
And the youngest girls are the ones that are setting the bar.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, like Betty Lou and Katie and, you know.
Molly mentioned she's going crazy.
Molly's
as well.
Such a hammer.
So crazy.
She's such a weapon.
Yeah.
And like, and they're all so young.
Yeah.
And then you got Sierra Kerr coming up and Aaron Brooks. Like,
yeah.
The game is going to change. Like,
big time.
Yeah.
No, it really is. You mentioned Kelly briefly there. What's he going to do, Shayna? You don't have to break any news, but
with what?
General feeling. Is he going to get enough points here on the board to make the cut, or is it going to be a different conversation?
It's going to be a different conversation for sure, which is great. It's awesome. You know, he's having a kid.
Yeah,
he's
good.
You know, 52, and he's I mean, let's be honest, like, he's the GOAT. He's like, nothing can, we can't say anything that already hasn't been said. He's like the greatest surfer of all time, and he's incredibly competitive, but you know, it is what it is, and he's had the best run in history, and I think it's time for him to relax. And he surfs incredible for his age, but he's still competing against guys who are 25 years old in the prime. And so he's done as good as he possibly could. And I think this is it's time for him to have something better to do. And he's going to be a great dad, and
for sure.
And focus on a lot of other things that he's excited about. And yeah, I'm excited for him.
Well, we were watching him surf Kira at home the other day, and I just am still, I don't know why I'm surprised, but he is surfing so good. I know there's that competitive edge of, you know, crew that are younger and maybe stronger and obviously in their primes, but watching him ride the barrel and his carving and his boards and that roundhouse cutback that he did is like...
insane.
It's insane.
It's insane.
It's insane.
So precise and sharp and on point.
I just have to, give that appreciation to that, because all of us were just going like,
no, I agree.
Man, you know, like, obviously it's Kelly, but...
And he's, I mean, it has to be said, like, he's fighting gnarly injuries. Like, he's got, he just had hip surgery, and like, that's no joke. Like, his hip's hurting him very bad right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's struggling. Yeah. There's days where he really can't surf.
Yeah.
So like, where how he was surfing and Kira and stuff, those are like good days for him.
Yeah, okay.
And then he has bad days where it's like, it's not a thing. He can't do that. Which is like just an issue. It's like that's part of being the age that we're at. But yeah, I mean, it's insane how good he's surfing, but I'm excited for his next chapter. I'm excited for him to be able to look at this stuff in the rear view mirror and become a surf fan of the comps and tune in to the webcast.
No doubt, he's watching every QS 1000 that's on, you know.
And he'll hopefully be like, you know, in the commentary booth a lot. And
you see him pop up, much like yourself, you know, when you guys jump in the booth, like, you know, Kelly and Nick at Trestles a couple of years ago, that was insane.
Yeah.
You know, the context and the stories and the knowledge obviously is, you know, it's unparalleled. So if that makes him more available to commentate events, like, I'm all for it.
But just as a friend, I'm so happy for him.
Yeah.
To like finally, like, I know what that was like for me to like quit the tour and like finally like to finally feel like I could exhale and like that weight coming off and the anxiety of the next event and your points and your finish, how you're going to do and people's expectations. And I just, that's like 20X for Kelly.
How long do you think it took you to accept or I guess move into that next chapter? Because from memory, correct me if I'm wrong, you kind of went out on a bit of a controversial one with the injury wildcard, or?
Yeah, I did. And it was weird. The last year it was like, I basically wasn't really into doing the tour for like the last like 2 or 3 years. And then my last year, I don't know how I got away with this. The last year I only did the 5 events I wanted to do, which you can never do now. I did Snapper. I skipped Bells, I think. And then I went to like Tahiti, Fiji, Trestles. Like I did all my favorite events and then just stopped and I was over it.
Yeah.
And then to answer your question, I was already at peace with not being on tour for like a whole year before I stopped the tour.
Uh-huh.
So I was already like, I already wanted to be off the tour.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of lame, but I'm excited. And I know what that feeling is like when you're like finally like, oh my gosh, I don't have to worry about the next event. And I'm happy, super happy for Kelly to finally, finally be there. It's insane how long he's lasted, and not only lasted, but like been super engaged and competitive.
He's been competitive. Like,
yeah. Even right now, he's just out at main break just now. I was texting with Kalani and she was telling me, she was like, yeah, you just went out. I'm walking on the beach. He's out there surfing and ripping.
I mean, this time last year, I had a heat with Liam O'Brien. That was one of the better heats of the year. And he looked incredible out here. When he has never really looked like super connected out here. So, yeah, it's really, it is something else. But what about yourself, mate? Just one last one. How's the body? And what's your plans for the next sort of little while? Injury free and...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm 51. I have stuff going on, but I had a really cool, pretty intense stem cell treatment about 5 or 6 months ago. And that's helped my body. I've been struggling with back issues for years and just wear and tear being 51. And my body feels good. And I kind of like got back in shape and surfing a lot and stoked to be here in the West. And from here, I have like 5 trips in a row. Like some personal, some business, some coaching, some surf trips. And so, I'm just super busy. And it looks like I will be at the Olympics in a coaching capacity probably.
Awesome.
It's not like official, but yeah. So I'm excited about that.
That's going to be awesome to watch that event.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm really excited about the Olympics. Just as a fan to see it all happen and see it all unfold and to see surfing on that stage. And, it was like in Japan. That was incredible to see it happening in Japan. But for them to have the chance to have world-class waves and for the world to see the very best surfers on the planet surf at Chopo when it's probably pretty decent is going to be insane. Yeah. I can't wait. It's going to be super exciting.
The ISA have had a certain, and the Olympics, I guess, like even with the Japan event, like have had a pretty good run of luck.
Yes.
They've done some cool things and... Yeah, we're all excited to watch that one.
Yeah, I'm fired up. It's going to be sick.
Yeah, awesome. Shano, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to seeing you on the stairs this week, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers.